Hey. As said, I'm Alex from Columbia, and I'll be talking about work we've done there called Androne. So drones today are becoming increasingly more important. They're showing up all over the place. Businesses are using them, consumers are using them. They're even being used for light shows at the Olympics. As of last year, there were over 1 million registered drones in the United States alone. As drones have become more important, uses for them have continued to be found. Nowadays, drones are being used for a vast array of purposes like aerial photography, package delivery, security, and numerous surveying and inspection tasks. We even have companies like Amazon and DHL exploring the possibility of deploying massive drone delivery fleets. But while it's cool we can do all these things with drones, there remains a few challenges. Notably, it's not that easy to just pick up a drone and pilot it properly. There's a steep learning curve. Plus, capable drones aren't cheap. Consumer drones are becoming more affordable and user-friendly, but if you require more than just basic functionality or only have infrequent use for one, they're still quite expensive. Add to this the requirement that you have to adhere to legislation like where you can and can't fly a drone, licensing requirements and registration requirements, coupled with an increasingly more crowded airspace, makes the operational costs involved in putting a drone in the air significant. In addition to all of this, drone use today is inefficient. If there are two independent drone tasks that need to be performed, even if the tasks are to be performed nearby each other, two drones are going to be used, each with their own operator. And this is really unfortunate, because it represents a significant wasted opportunity. Once you've dealt with all the operational costs of putting a drone in the air, and it's actually up there flying, if it costs next to nothing to add additional computation to it. If it has enough flight time left to operate at an additional nearby waypoint, or take some aerial photography along its flight path, it's a waste not to do those things. So to address these shortcomings and make drones more widely accessible, we created Androne, a drone as a service solution making drones available to anybody via the cloud. With Androne, one of these companies like Amazon or DHL, with their large drone delivery fleets, can offer their drones to users, enabling, for example, traffic to be surveyed for a news company while en route to a delivery. Androne provides users with lightweight virtual drones. Much like ordering a cloud-based virtual machine from Amazon, Google, or whoever, Androne users go to a web portal to order and configure a virtual drone with apps and services of interest to them. These virtual drones are then deployed on real physical drones. Virtual drones are just like physical drones and have the same capabilities, but much like virtual machines, their hardware is virtualized. Because they're much like virtual machines, they have many of the same benefits. Virtual drones are able to be multiplexed on the same physical drone, allowing us to run multiple simultaneous drone tests at a time throughout a flight. They're able to be moved around and run on different hardware and can be stored in the cloud for later use. With virtual drones, we're able to take advantage of the fact that computational costs on drones is cheap compared to the operational and energy costs involved in actually putting them in the air. This makes it very efficient to multiplex multiple virtual drones on a physical drone's flight, allowing us to maximize the utility of a drone's flight time. So now, instead of a drone just performing a simple delivery, it can additionally be running a virtual drone to survey traffic along the way, and perhaps another virtual drone to inspect the roof of a nearby house. Stepping back a little bit to show how Androne works, with Androne, users with little to no experience can obtain a virtual drone equipped with pre-made apps to control the drone for them, to perform a task for them. To order a virtual drone, the user will go to the Androne web portal. There, they can specify the location that they want their drone to operate at, known as a waypoint, and if they want, add apps from the Androne App Store. For example, a real estate agent who wants aerial photos of a property can go to the App Store, request a virtual drone, and add a real estate photography app to it. Maybe a simple app that just circles a property, or a more advanced app leveraging computer vision for better results. Furthermore, if they desire, they may request direct access to the virtual drone, allowing them manual control of it with some restrictions that I'll talk about later. After users have placed their orders, Androne will allocate the virtual drones on physical drones. When doing so, it will consolidate virtual drones with tasks that can be performed on the same flight on a single drone to maximize usage and reduce cost. Throughout the flight, all the virtual drones are running, and they may access devices like the camera either during the flight or just at their waypoint. Since it's possible to access devices can be in conflict, for example, two virtual drones can't control the camera at the same time, as that doesn't really make sense, the flight planner is aware ahead of time of the device access requirements of virtual drones and ensures that no conflicts exist when consolidating them. Once consolidated, Androne will fly the physical drone to each virtual drone's waypoint. While the drone is in flight, the virtual drones are accessible to users via a cellular internet connection. Once at a waypoint, the drone is geofenced and restricted flight control is given to the virtual drone for it to complete its task at that waypoint. The extent of restrictions placed on the flight control can vary from allowing full manual control to only allowing flying by specifying the coordinates the drone is to fly to. Once the virtual drone is done with its tasks, the drone will be sent to the next virtual drone's waypoint or back to base. So to achieve this design, Androne pairs a cloud service for configuring, allocating, and storing virtual drones offline with an onboard drone virtualization architecture to safely share physical drone hardware and isolate virtual drones during flight. On the cloud side of things, it's relatively straightforward. It allows users to order virtual drones via a web portal, stores them when they're not in use in the virtual drone repository, has an app store to offer apps to run on drones, and has a flight planner that allocates virtual drones to physical drone flights. More details are in the paper, but since I don't have much time, I'm going to focus more on what we do on board the physical drone. On board a physical drone, we need to achieve a few things. The first and most basic requirement is we need to allow multiple isolated virtual drones to run together on the same hardware. So to solve this and allow them to run together, the most obvious solution to look at first is virtual machines. We can just put each virtual drone in a VM. But VMs are really not ideal. Drone hardware is very resource constrained. Not only is performance limited, but the hardware frequently doesn't even have virtualization extensions. Additionally, drones have a vast array of sensor devices. To try and build a hypervisor to support this hardware in all these devices, or even just add device support to an existing hypervisor, would require significant effort. So if we can't use VMs, we have to look at an alternative. Containers are a popular approach to isolation nowadays. Containers isolate programs in their own user space while they run directly on the host kernel. With containers, we can isolate virtual drones in their own environments with little overhead. Specifically, we can use Linux containers because, conveniently, Linux is the predominantly used platform both for containers and for ARM-based hardware, which drones commonly are based around. Meaning that, unlike with VMs, we don't need to implement support for all of a drone's devices because support is likely already there in Linux. So, Androne can use containers for virtual drones, isolating each virtual drone in its own container. But Androne doesn't just have virtual drone containers. Our architecture actually has a couple of different types of containers, including a device and a flight container that I'll talk more about later. Getting back to the virtual drones, though, we use containers to isolate them, and so then it's just a matter of what we're actually going to run inside of them. For Androne, we implement our virtual drones as Android Things-based instances. Android Things is an Android-based IoT operating system designed by Google that provides the Android environment on lower power and more resource-constrained devices, much like those found on drones. Androne offers users these Android Things-based virtual drones, giving them a familiar and well-known platform with many existing apps. Plus, developers are able to leverage the large existing base of code, libraries, development tools, and resources. With all of this, we've satisfied our most basic requirement of just getting multiple virtual drones to run. But there's still a problem. We need virtual drones to have access to hardware devices so they can actually perform a useful task. Plus, we need to be able to adjust which devices the virtual drone can access throughout a flight to prevent, for example, one virtual drone using the camera at another person's waypoint, as that's not going to be likely to be desired. However, just because we containerize our virtual drones doesn't mean they'll be able to properly share these devices. These devices typically are only made to be accessed by one app at a time, instead of by multiple apps simultaneously. In Android, this exclusivity limitation is overcome by making apps interact with devices indirectly via system-provided services. Apps communicate over IPC with, for example, a location service to access the GPS. These device services then, in turn, directly access and manage the devices on behalf of apps. This way, each device is only ever directly accessed by a single process, and the devices can be multiplexed amongst all apps. With Androne, though, this is going to be a problem since we have multiple instances of Android Things running, each with their own set of device services. We end up with the same device access conflict that Android's device services originally solved. Additionally, we're still left without a mechanism allowing us to adjust device permissions. So, to avoid this issue and give us a centralized way to adjust device permissions, we create another Android Things container to run alongside virtual drones called the Device Container. We use this container to run Android's device-related system services. We then disabled the device services from running inside of virtual drones and instead make each virtual drone use the device container services, so there's only a single set of device services running on the system and accessing devices. This removes the issue of multiple virtual drone instances conflicting over hardware access and allowing hardware to be multiplexed among virtual drones. This also gives us a centralized high-level place to control access to devices. So with this design, we've taken care of our second requirement. Now, the final thing we need to do, our onboard architecture to do, is to support the ability to give virtual drones conditional and restricted control over the physical drone's flight. Flight control is essentially just another device, but we can't handle it the same way as all the other devices. And there's a few reasons for this. Flight control is achieved through flight controller software. These flight controllers are real-time constrained and have real-time constraints for maintaining the stability of a drone, and they have their own software stacks. Commonly, they expect to be run as part of a traditional Linux user space, but they certainly don't expect to be run inside of Android Things. However, with containers, we can support different versions of Linux. So to support flight control, we create a flight container to run the flight controller and prioritize it differently to meet its real-time constraints. Then, to safely allow virtual drones access to flight control, we augment the flight container so that it provides virtual drones with access to virtual flight controllers, or VFCs. Virtual drones can always connect to their VFCs, but restrictions are placed on it. While the physical drone is not at the virtual drone's waypoint, the VFC presents a view of their drone as idle on the ground, and flight control commands to it are rejected. As the physical drone arrives at the virtual drone's waypoint, the view of their drone changes to match that of the physical drone. The drone is then geofenced, and restricted flight control is allowed. In order to support VFCs, we run a proxy in the flight container and proxy all communication between virtual drones and the flight controller through it. We then augment the proxy to understand VFCs. We essentially encapsulate the messages in the proxy sees in per VFC namespaces. This way, we know which VFC has sent a command, whether or not that specific command should be allowed, and we are able to alter the view of the drone for a specific VFC. This enables us to give the virtual drone a view of the physical drone that differs from reality and to only allow whitelisted commands through to the real flight controller. So now we can run multiple virtual drones alongside the flight controller. The hardware is safely multiplexed, and virtual drones may conditionally have restricted control of flight. With that, I'll move on to the evaluation. To evaluate Androne, we developed a quadcopter prototype based around Raspberry Pi hardware, and here we have a photo of it. In the middle of the airframe, you can see the Raspberry Pi hardware mounted in a case in a housing. You have the motors at the end of each arm, and electronic speed controllers used to control the motors mounted underneath each arm. Finally, all of it's powered by a battery mounted in the center of the airframe beneath the Raspberry Pi. So to begin with, since we're sharing the real-time constrained flight controller alongside third-party virtual drones, we need to demonstrate that Androne can provide sufficient real-time guarantees for the flight controller to maintain stability and control of the drone even while simultaneously supporting multiple virtual drones. To do this, we ran cyclic test, a common latency benchmark, for 100 million samples for three scenarios. In the first, the system is idle. In the second, we ran the popular Android benchmark, Passmark, in a loop. And in the third, we used the stress utility and iPerf to stress the CPU, memory, storage, and networking. The graph here is measured latency on the x-axis and the number of samples with that latency on the y. Both are logarithmic scale. Across all of these scenarios, the highest outlying latencies seen were around 500 microseconds, all well within the real-time requirements of our flight controller software. To further demonstrate the stability of flight is not compromised by Androne, we performed test flights with our drone both while idle and while running the passmark stress scenario from the previous slide. We then analyzed the drone's attitude estimate divergence for both scenarios, wherein the canonical yaw, pitch, and roll of the drone is compared with what the flight controller expects. Both flights were within normal divergence, indicative of a stable flight. To demonstrate that Androne has a negligible effect on energy usage, we measured the power consumption of Androne with up to three virtual drones running and compared and normalized it to stock Android Things. Across all scenarios, Androne's energy usage was within 3% of stock, but more importantly, in absolute numbers, less than 3.5 watts is used by the system even if it's fully stressed. And this is insignificant compared to the power draw of a drone's motors, which even on consumer drones well exceeds 100 watts. This demonstrates that Androne has a negligible effect on a drone's flight time. In conclusion, we designed, implemented, and evaluated Androne, a drone-as-a-service solution making drones accessible in the cloud. Androne pairs a cloud service with a lightweight virtualization architecture that introduces a new device and flight container design for multiplexing drone hardware and managing virtual drone device access, including providing virtual drones with geofenced flight control. Thank you.
Hi.
Jimmy.
Okay.
Sorry,
it's okay. Whoever.
Okay, Gilles Muller in RIA. So this is an interesting idea. I'm wondering if you take into account the fact that you need a payload. For instance, the example with a camera, normally if you want to take a really good picture for real estate, you need a big camera. So you need to take into account the fact that the drone must carry on something.
Yeah, with our system, we expect that there'll be multiple different types of drones available for your use. So it's not just always going to be a package delivery drone. There may be, say, a specialized video camera. Mm.
Okay.
Okay, so Paolo Veresimo from the University of Luxembourg. Thank you. I mean, this is a refreshing idea, you know, and I give you the merit for that. But I have two orders of concerns, and I'll let you answer them. The first one is about usability, because you see, the reason why X as a service works, it's because these infrastructures are fixed. You know, you don't see a blade or a disk flying out of a data center, right, going somewhere. And so this is why you can very freely share them. And that was a great success. But if you have real-time systems, so, you know, cyber-physical systems, if you want, they are concerned with actions on the environment. And so the way you crafted your stuff, you know, think about the examples you gave. So I'm delivering a package to that building there, and I'm observing the traffic, you know, over my path. But who told you that the second client, you know, because it wants to observe the traffic there. He wants to observe the traffic there. And then, you know, and I think that, you know, what you probably miss, and I'll let you answer, is an orchestration service. But I think it's going to be pretty difficult to orchestrate this kind of conflicting independent customer services. That's my first question.
No, I agree. The planning aspect of it is very complicated. And right now, we use an existing solution for energy consumption and drone routing out of the University of Calgary. It has limitations in that we can specify that drones need to go to different waypoints, but we can't group them or demand a specific ordering of them.
Yes, but I think that you need another block, because the device manager or container will not solve that problem, I guarantee you. The other concern is about, you know, privacy, safety, blah. So it's again because this is cyber-physical systems, and you have customers, and how do you handle, you know, the problem that a customer may want, you know, a drone to just go hit the house of an enemy, the guy he doesn't like, or, you know, go snooping on buildings, you know. So how do you solve that?
For flying into a building, since the drone owner provides or has ultimate control over the drone and has final say over it, they could optionally run, or probably would want to run, object avoidance software to prevent such an action. We don't currently do that, but it's possible.
Why did you need to virtualize in the first place? Why did you need to virtualize?
I mean, as long as we have the drone already in the air, if there's another drone test that needs to be performed right nearby,
why you could not? Run another app, right?
Yeah.
It's an Android.
But
why do you need containers and virtual machines in the first place?
If you just run another Android app, you have insufficient isolation. I mean, Android apps are only protected by user IDs, so you can still mess with the system, do notification spamming, DOS.
And so is container, actually. It's just isolated by namespaces. So as long as you don't have root access on Android device, its apps are equivalent isolated to a container if you don't have access on a Linux box?
If I just am running an Android app, I can balloon the memory, force the background apps to be closed, I can spam notifications all day, I can...
I mean, that's just a matter of adding a, what do you call, app manager or device manager. That support already exists in Android. There's a lot of app management, device management companies like AirWatch and Iron, they already do that. Like my fundamental question is, why do you actually need a virtualization technology like container or virtual machine to run on top of a drone? To support the scenario that.
Basically, we just want the stronger isolation guarantees the containers provide.
All right, let's thank the speaker. Oh, we've got one more question. In an awkward place. Two more questions. Okay, sorry. Go here first. Yeah.
Sorry, so just a quick comment, Chance Coates from University of Illinois. A similar comment along those veins, if they're using applications that are available on this sort of app store that you talked about, then you don't necessarily have the opportunity for malicious apps that could take advantage of things like memory bloating and notification spamming, right?
Yeah, I mean, the App Store is just one way you can put apps on it. You can also have direct access to the drone and load whatever you want on it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, last question.
You've talked about container isolation for the software, but isn't your far bigger problem the physical isolation of the drone itself? Like in, for example, another customer might observe, well, there was an observation task because my delivery took longer, and this observation task was likely on that path by that guy of the property over there, or rather the interference of one customer with another delivery, for example, by adding a waypoint through a high turbulence area that drains the battery and stops the delivery because the drone has to land because it's out of battery. Isn't that a far bigger problem than the container isolation of your software?
Yeah, each virtual drone at the waypoint have a maximum amount of energy they can expend and a maximum amount of time they can spend it there, and that's taken into account by the flight planner and energy consumption model.
All right, let's thank the speaker again.